Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I am your host, Brian Scott. It's always fantastic to return to the world of Quo. Please check out my other episodes. We have read so many beautiful things from the channelings of Quo. These channelings are given in meditation groups related to LL Research. You can find LL Research at llresearch.org. And many of them include multiple members channeling an entity called Quo and a number of entities that channel within the Quo group. I've done several episodes, and sometimes it's hard to put them all into one particular topic. Sometimes the channelings will just start and they'll say these amazing, beautiful things. Sometimes these topics evolve and they ask other unrelated questions, and they're all super fascinating, and I wanted to share many of them with you today. First of all, we begin on a channeling given in 1989, when at the time when Quo would use Hatan as one of its members. They begin by saying, "We are Hatan, and we greet you in the love and the light of the infinite creator. May we say what a blessing it is and an honor to be allowed to share your meditation and to join your circle of seeking at this time. May we ask that each in the circle realize that there is only one being, one consciousness amongst all seekers. Each is unique, but each a part of the same movement, the same process. Each of you companions on the road from the creator to the creator. We ask that you settle down, perhaps a bit deeper, in order to serve as batteries for this instrument. We ask that this tuning procedure be enhanced, if necessary, by visualizing a small globe in the midst of the circle and it moving until all are within that globe, all within the light, all protected and united in their seeking. We have called to your group this evening by the thoughts and desires of those who are here. We come gladly because it is our method of service to others to be with you at this time. We would perhaps recognize the motives of service to others that move some among your peoples to go to those other peoples upon your sphere which are needy and teach the ways of using the environment to their environment. So too, we wish to aid entities in another environment than that of the physical bread, the physical food, the physical existence. Each of you also is an awakening spirit, and each of you begins to awaken to the need not only for food of the spirit, but for tools and resources, that one find the means of growing the wheat, of removing the chaff, of grinding and breaking that which is hard within you, that the newborn spirit, that the wheat, that the gold which you have made and found within yourself may glow and become a channel for the love and the light of the infinite creator. This is what all of us seek to do, and this is the adventure at the beginning of which you now gaze with a fascination that this instrument would say would be shown by Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. She knows she is not in Kansas anymore, but she does not know where she is. We feel that it is a kindly universe, a most loving and loving and beloved creator, and we find that our fates, as far as our teachers know, are most benign, and that our end is never, that we are imperishable beings created to be the active portion of the one creator, cells of an infinite mind which learns about itself because of the interaction of all of us, all of you, all those of your sphere, all of your galaxy, all those of the billions of galaxies, that you may see all those in the infinity of the illusion of this octave of experience. We of the Confederation of Planets, in service of the one infinite creator, come to you with a very simple message we come to you with what may be said to be a message so simple that it cannot be heard. We come to say that there is one great original thought. That thought is love. Not a love as you know it, but a full and complete love. A love both beautiful and terrible. The love of the Creator to know itself. In that love, it created by using free will that which is called consciousness, self-consciousness, shall we say. Each of you is a mixture of the very stuff, shall we say, of the active principle of the Creator. That is, you have a God self. However, to it was bonded free will. And in the immature, shall we say, seeker, that free will shows as willfulness, variousness, and unpredictability in choice making. Indeed, many do not see that each day and perhaps each hour a decision that is to be made, that may seem very small, actually bears upon a spiritual principle. One could be working upon one's development as a polarized service to others entity. Many times one misses the opportunity because one is far too much involved in that illusion which you call the everyday life. We come to speak of a love that is so great that it does not run out. It is infinite in supply. We come to urge each to participate in that great original thought of love. For the more that one participates in that great original thought, the more one's point of view regarding the mundane and everyday experiences of the life experiences becomes infused with the light of the one infinite Creator and the compassion that is felt by the Creator for itself, all parts of itself, those who love the dark as well as those who love the light. The greatest and most powerful pathway to an experience of the infinite Creator that is available in a way which will remain with the entity is persistent daily meditation. For in meditation, one moves oneself through the door into the inner room in which stands waiting the Creator. The Creator is most willing to dwell and abide with each entity, but it is each entity's decision to open that door to the inner room of silence, meditation, contemplation, and listening. If you may do one thing to accelerate the pace of spiritual growth, it is simply to choose a place and a time in each diurnal period where the meditation may take place in silence and the listening within may be uninterrupted. The process is most difficult to judge, we find, from those within the illusion, for within your society the mind complex is requested to be very active at all times, and the body usually also. This makes it rather difficult for what this instrument would call the Western or Occidental entity to participate in a passive meditation with much true quietness of mind. We ask you not to be discouraged on that account, for the work that you do in consciousness by meditating and listening is that work of the will to discipline the personality, to change willfulness into that phrase from your holy work, not my will, but thine. In other words, not the will of free will, which is various, but the will of the Creator self, which is a will to love. To this, we ask you to surrender, as the finite surrenders before the infinite. As the past and the future surrender to the resonance of the present moment, intersecting with the present moment. At all present moments is eternity. One may think of it as, shall we say, perpendicular to all things. It is enmeshed with you. You dwell in heaven at this time. Oh, my friends, we urge you to open the eyes and gaze about at the creation of the Father. We ask you to see the cooperation and the joy that there is in the great cathedral of nature. We ask you to seek the trees and the bushes that breathe out that which your species must breathe in. that breathe in that which your species must breathe out. The cooperation is great, yet completely without thought. Again and again within the world of nature, one may find not only beauty, but cooperation, harmony, and a way of living in which each may exist and be wild and free and beautiful that is still your heritage. You see, you carry about with you a second density creature. This creature is your body. You yourself have the consciousness of third density, but you must walk about upon this particular heavy physical density of illusion. And so you carry about with you a certain kind of animal. This human animal is a delightful thing, and we ask each to honor it, to understand its needs, to harmonize and cooperate with that which some have called the temple of the soul. We would prefer the term physical vehicle for you. Use it much as you would use a car. It gets you around, and through its senses you perceive much. But please, reckon with this animal and know that it, including its ability to reason and to have instinct, is not informed in the same way that one which has chosen to become conscious of one's hope of accelerating spiritual growth is. You must realize that part of the willfulness that must be regularized so that the will may be turned to work in consciousness is that of the outer illusion. One's relationships, both in society and most especially with those with whom one is intimate, one's family. It is well to do the very best one can to place one's creature in a good position for survival, so that one may go about the business of polarizing in consciousness. Do not allow the intellect or the instinct to rule the behavior, but turn again and again to the glory, the unity, the peace and the joy of the presence of the one infinite and mysterious creator, that thought of love which created all that there is. Do not choose to be that which carries you around. Do not choose to be willful forever, but choose instead to will, to surrender to that greater self within. Ah, my friends, what a jewel rests within you. What light, what love. You are unique, each of you, unique as snowflakes. You have experienced much. You would not be here upon this planet within an incarnation at this time if you did not have a good chance of choosing to be of service to others to the extent that you polarize enough to graduate from this density to that density of love and understanding, where the veil between the conscious and the unconscious mind is lifted. And much is seen and understood that can never be understood within this illusion. We do not mean to suggest for a moment that there is any hurry about this. It is one's choice completely. We do not mean to suggest for a moment that the fourth density is easier than the third. This is not so. It is simply different. The fourth density is a density in which one refines one's ability to love and one's knowledge of love, one's ability to be love, and one's knowledge of being love. However, because there is a fourth density negative, there's a dynamic tension, and both those of positive and negative persuasion may speak to your people. We ask you therefore to discern and discriminate carefully with each piece of information that you hear, including ours. We are fallible. What we have to say to you is we believe helpful. We hope it is. But if it is not, my friends, we ask you, let it go, for we would not be a stumbling block before you in any way. We would not ask you to meditate for the long periods of time, for we find that the process of spiritual growth among your peoples causes a good deal of change. It is well that the change take place slowly enough that one's mate may deal with it as well as oneself. The process of change is sometimes painful, and we urge each to be extremely courageous and pick oneself up after each and every self-perceived failure to turn one's face again to the mysterious face of the Eternal One. We join you on this journey. We hope that you will meditate each day for a short period of time. Not the long, We hope you will enjoy the changes that you perceive in yourself. We hope that you may again and again and again choose love and serving others over that love which takes, controls, and manipulates. See those activities and behaviors within yourself and start making other choices. These things you can do, not out of your own strength, but because you spend time with the Creator. May we say to you, the basic, single, most thoroughgoing advice we may give to you is to meditate on a daily basis, for one moment with the Creator can make one feel joyful, peaceful, centered, and ready to meet that which comes later. Then when one is in a difficult situation, one may cast one's mind back to that centered place and in some way draw eternity into the most difficult of situations. It simply is a matter of spending time with the Creator. This mysterious entity created you. It is infinite. It is intelligent. It is invisible. This much we know, the Creator is still a mystery to us as well. But the Creator intersects with your life at this time and at every time, for each moment is the present moment and each moment is eternity. May you spend your time with the Creator so habitually that this becomes a resource, that you may become a channel for the love and the light of the Infinite One. And then, my friends, you shall shine like a lighthouse, like a beacon, for you shall be a channel for love. That which does not stop, that which is infinite. It is the lightening of the consciousness of the planet Earth that is our hope at this time. They then ask a question. I believe that my higher self has created the illusion of my being here on Earth at this time. I believe in incarnation since all time is one. Do I have all of my incarnations simultaneously working together now in and out of my being that is here in this room? I am Hatan and am aware of your query, my sister. The simultaneous nature of time is a difficult concept to express in your words, for the nature of words themselves is that which works against, shall we say, the understanding of time at its heart. For within your illusion, time moves as does a river, that which is past, that which is present, and that which is future, moving sequentially, in order that the mind complex may grasp in a specific or narrowed function certain lessons, shall we say, or concepts that shall require this focused attention in order to be realized within the depths of one's being. Therefore, time, as you experience it, is greatly distorted for a purpose, that you might learn intensively and with focus and purity. However, the larger view of time and of your own being includes a great deal more than this concept, than this illusion, and more than our humble words can begin to approach, though we shall attempt this process. Your, as you have called it, higher self, is what you now would call your fully potentiated self at a point in time that you would call your future. This higher self has what you might see as a roadmap laid out for you that has the beginning point, the ending point, and many possible avenues of journeying between these points. The higher self has resources available to it upon which you may call through your desire to know more of the mystery of yourself, of this illusion, of the Creator. As you begin to request information of this nature, you are guided, shall we say, by your higher self to meet the various entities, activities, and resources that are necessary to satisfy your desire and to allow you to continue upon your process of evolution. One of the resources which may be called upon in this process, you may see as your various incarnational selves which exist within your being as probabilities or possibilities infinite in number, and which contain within their realms or boundaries of being information gathered through experiences within these incarnations, which may prove useful in your current incarnation. It is more accurate to see the incarnational process in the simultaneous time framework as a kind of parallel existence which has no beginning or no end. If one explores carefully one's own connections, not only to one's present self or those that one might consider past or future, but also one's connections to each portion of the creation of which one is aware, whereas you have become familiar with the concept of unity of self with all of creation, this concept indeed begins to make itself more obviously apparent, or shall we say apparently obvious, as one sees the connections between the self and each particle of the creation and begins to see that there is that of value in each portion of the creation and is that which might teach or inform the self as the self moves through its currently perceived experiences. All this is to say, my sister, that your supposition, though correct in its foundation, is somewhat oversimplified, as is our explanation in response to it with the words we have used, for the nature of one's being at the heart of one's being partakes of this unity, which is unshakable and is the primary foundation stone upon which all of the creation is built. Another question. I had an unusual experience that all of a sudden I had an insight as if everybody that I was with in this particular room at a given time was me, and I was them, zoomed into them, and they zoomed into me. Is everybody in this room tonight and everybody I come in contact with another me? I am Hetan, and I'm aware of your query, my sister, at the heart of each being. This is indeed true for each. Indeed, each entity which one meets in the daily round of activities is an other self, not just because each entity projects from its own conscious and unconscious mind a certain image of the self that serves as a kind of filter or eyeglass through which one sees one's universe, but even more profoundly, each entity is indeed the one creator, and as the one exists in all, then all exists in the one, and indeed in each other. Therefore, the experiences that each entity accumulates in each incarnation are available as a resource to all. If each entity is able to move through the deeper levels of the mind complex to that place within the subconscious mind, where this unity is more obvious and more profound in effect within each incarnation and each portion of each entity. In another question, they say, I've always wondered about simultaneous time. If some past life version of you does something differently, like have another kid or die early and doesn't have kids or whatever, does the future at all change? I mean simultaneously. Hetan says, this again, though correct in its basic premise, is somewhat oversimplified, for there is not just one past or one future. There are many, many, many of each with a different response, perhaps in degree or in quality, to those events which are occurring in a simultaneous fashion for the entity in one portion of its being that is seen within a certain framework of time, as we are sure that you begin now to see the process is one which is dynamic in its interaction and the connection with not only deeper portions of one's own being, but with the entire creation about one as well. Next question was, there's been a lot of study going on in life after death experiences of people that have come back. And from everything that I've understood, people go to a light, the source of God, as we believe it to be, as I understand it. There have been some that have not gone to this light. Is this not just in your own thought of what life is? And once you've passed through this period of time, are you not with God at that point? Even if you have fear, even if you have a sense of evil or bad, do you spend the time and still return to God instead of, for instance, hell? Is there even a hell? Hetan says, I am Hetan, and am aware of your query, my sister. Indeed, each entity within the incarnation as you experience it, or moving through the door of death, as you call it, to a different form of existence, each entity always is within the presence of the one creator. That presence is perceived in a fashion which responds to the, shall we say, beliefs or structure of beliefs, which the entity has formed within the current incarnational pattern. These beliefs may again, to use our former analogy, be seen as the spectacles, the eyeglasses upon the face, through which the entity views its environment. Thus, that which is experienced immediately following the process you call death partakes most fully of this distorting factor of belief that filters that which is so that it is seen and experienced according to the beliefs of the entity having the experience. Thus, there is much of confusion for many, as each entity has formed a unique system of beliefs to some degree during the incarnation and must, at the time of the death process, first view that which is to come through this structure of beliefs. As the entity becomes more accustomed to its new environment, it begins to allow certain of the more distorting and obviously less useful beliefs to fall away as a natural function of the continuing process of transferring consciousness from one illusion to another less distorted illusion. Therefore, the entity begins to see. Another question they ask, as I, in this physical being, pass into death, and I take all of my biases and my prejudices and my learnings with me, and certain distortions fall away on the other side, whatever period of time I choose to stay on the other side, does a refined spirit come back through to the next incarnation in body? I am Hatan, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. As you begin to penetrate the realms of what we find called Etheria, or the higher realms of the astral planes, after moving through the death process, you become aware that there is a greater self towards which you move. Until this self, which has completed one incarnation, and the self which has not only lived each incarnation but has served as a repository of those lessons and experience gathered in each, then becomes the new self, so that you are again unified with what may be called the essence of the self, or as most of your peoples call it, the soul. This being, then, with the aid of others who have served as the guides and the teachers, and with the aid of the higher self, reviews the incarnation which has been completed in order that which has been gained of learning and of service might be compared with that which was desired and planned before the incarnation. Where there has been less efficient learning, there is the renewed desire to pursue that which was left undone. Where there has been completion of lessons, there is then the addition or refinement of those lessons so that the experience that is to come within the following incarnation might offer to the self an enhanced opportunity to know the self and to know the Creator, and also to allow the Creator to know itself through the self within the new incarnation in a fashion which is also enhanced or refined, shall we say. Thus one may compare succeeding incarnations to the succeeding grades or classes within your schooling system, so that that which has been learned previously begins to form a foundation upon which the structure of the greater self might be built. Question: is the greater self ever changing as God is? Since there is infinity, is the greater self still going to expand and expand for all eternity too? I am Hatan, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. As there is a limit, shall we say, to the dimensions or densities within one octave of being, there is a definite opportunity provided to each entity or portion of the one Creator to know the self, the creation, and the Creator. This progression of opportunities to know the Creator at a certain point within the process, many, many, as you would call them, millions of years in what you would call your future, moves to a point at which the unification of the small self with the great self, with the higher self, and with the Creator becomes so perfected that indeed the self becomes the Creator and returns in a fashion that might be likened unto the workers bringing the harvest home, in order that the Creator then at this point might be able to utilize those fruits of the harvest, those experiences and lessons and services gathered as the seeds for a further octave of beingness that will begin as this one began, with the most basic elements of being, the earth, the wind, the fire, and the water blowing and burning incandescently in what would be seen as a chaotic fashion, until again there is the beginning of the organization of consciousness and the moving forth into a new octave of experience that will allow further explorations for the Creator within the new creation, this process being infinite in nature, as far as we are aware. In another session, they're speaking with Quo through Hatan. I am Hatan. Greetings, my friends, in the love and the light of the one infinite Creator. It is indeed enjoyable to speak to you, each of you, through this instrument once again. We would speak to you briefly upon the changes which you are witnessing. We of the Confederation have spoken many times of that which is to occur on your planet. We do not wish to deal in particular with precise occurrences, yet with their meaning we wish to speak to you about. Changes within this universe are beneficial no matter how grievous they may appear. For as in your life experience, With each change comes a greater understanding of the complexity, not only your life, but of the universe. To the best of our knowledge, the universe itself is endless. So therefore, are the changes you may experience throughout your travels upon this plane of existence and upon all planes which you may enter into. You have heard the saying that each cloud has a silver lining, a simple truth. With each appearing destructive occurrence within your society today, though the activity may be negative in nature, it is presented to mankind, one, because he has created it unknowingly through his own thought processes, and two, so that he may witness that which is undesirable and desire to change once again and experience that which would be more desirable and of a positive nature. Yet mankind, as it is known upon your planet, continually insists upon experiencing the negative aspects of this creation. Many of your religions have taught you to fear the wrath of your God. It is shameful in a sense that man must be taught with fear. For God is not fear and should never be feared by you. God is to be respected. The Creator is divine and all-loving and all-knowledgeable. Because he has seen your continued stubbornness, shall we say, to learn it or progress. As he would wish you to do, he has reluctantly introduced fear into his teachings. Mankind must learn to release his fears, and in so doing, he shall free himself from an intensely negative atmosphere which he has created around himself, thus allowing the energies of the universe, which are all the essences of truth and love, to more evenly penetrate his being. Consider yourself to be as a sponge and the truths of the universe as the liquid of life. You have a cellophane coating about you. Remove it without fear, and you shall absorb all the truth that you have so long sought to realize. Mankind is divine, as is the Creator. The extent of your divinity is unlimited, as long as you choose not to limit that divinity through your own creative abilities, by accepting fear and all things that are associated with it into your life. Know thyself, and you shall know thy Creator. Fear thy Creator, and you fear yourself. When you consider, my friends, what it is that you are, you may then see that there is nothing to fear either outside or within yourself, for you are a being of infinite life, and whatever occurs to your physical envelope, which you call your body, is but a transitory alteration in your condition of consciousness. However, we realize that at this time, although you have some knowledge of yourself as one with the Creator, although you have a good grasp of the ideals of the ethics of love, but you are at this time enduring difficulties associated with living within the gross or coarse reality which is your earth plane. Therefore, we would like to make a distinction for you in order to enhance your understanding of that which you see about you. There are two types of that which you would call negativity. The first type is extremely beneficial. Night, for example, is the negative of day. Night is very beneficial, giving us rest from our labors and a happy end to the troubles of the day. Cool is the negative of warm, and when you have experienced your planet's sunlight for too long a period of time, there is nothing as refreshing to you as the coolness of water as you bathe in it and enjoy its beauty. You will find these same negatives in people. You will find temper, which is the negative of patience, and yet you will find that temper brings honesty and honesty brings understanding. You will find illness as the negative of health, and yet with illness comes the only chance for healing, and thus understanding the power of that which you call the Holy Spirit. All of these so-called negatives are a valuable and gentle necessity of existence. When they are part of your life, it would be well for you to analyze them and understand the balance that they make for you. For beauty and joy are not one-sided, but occur only because they are gradations of beauty and gradations of joy, which extend into their negatives, a lack of beauty and a lack of joy. When you are sad, realize that you are natural. You are a part of balancing force. Just as a pendulum will move, so will your spirit seek its balance, not by standing still, but by rocking. Joy, sadness, this is the earthly way. There's another way, my friends, and that is available to you only through meditation. And when you enter into this supernal joy of infinite life, and are one with the angels and spirits of high divinity, praising the Creator, then there is no balancing necessary. For this is a joy without what you call emotion. It is so wholehearted, as you would call it, that there is no balancing necessary in order to sustain the energy of the feeling. In fact, joy is not a feeling but a creative force, and another word for that is love. And that is what we greet you with, and that is what we always leave you with. We previously mentioned that there was another kind of negativity, one which you need not fear, but which you might need to understand, and that is an unnatural negativity, one which is not balanced but is chosen, purposely and perversely, by those who would separate themselves from ongoing unity with the Creator. It is a choice of separation, and it is what we would call positive negativity, in that it is positively sought and encouraged. Yes, my friends, there are those among you who are quite simply unnaturally negative. This is their path, and they have chosen it. We do not wish to ask you to have any particular feeling about these people, one of whom is certainly in your mind at this time, for he is in the minds of all those whom we scan in your culture. We do not ask you to love, forgive, or condone, for these are choices which you must make for yourself. We cannot help you choose your own spiritual reality, but we can hope to enhance your understanding of the fact that although even such a one as he is somewhat negative at this time by his own choice, you must understand that the path of evolution is ultimately spiritual and is ultimately inevitable. A negative person may choose at this time to make no progress. He will, however, at a later time, have as many choices and opportunities as he needs to choose again. In your holy works, there is something called the Day of Judgment, and those who are evil, as we have spoken, are to be condemned forever. And yet, it is also written in your holy works, yea, though you go to the very doors of hell, I shall be with you. My friends, you may believe the teacher and not the judgmental statements that follow the teacher. Your heaven and your hell exist within you at this moment, and when you leave your physical body, your existence in the heaven worlds will depend completely upon your vibration in this incarnation. Thus, we ask that you use that balancing act of positive and negative so that you are constantly learning, constantly moving in an evolutionary spiral that will lead you to a place where in your infinite existence, after this brief life experience in this density, you'll be comfortable, comforted, and able to give comfort to others. Question: is there actually a place outside our own, a hell, a place where spirits are cast out as spoken in the Bible? We may answer that in two ways, my sister. There are planets who have completed for themselves a hell, which without outside interference will continue to be totally terrifying. There are planets which have no more ability to extricate themselves from a condition of complete terror. They are so frightened that in their soul condition, the souls cling to each other with such intensity that they consist of an impenetrable knot of fear, each feeling completely separated from the other and from the Creator. Your planet is not down that road yet. There are many among your peoples who are very positive. There is no chance at this time that your planet would become one of these. Furthermore, among our ranks, there are those whose task it is to release planetary entities such as these from their terror, so that they will let go of each other and be able to be led away to what you call a hospital to spiritually rest until they are able to once again take up the task that awaits us all, that of evolving into the original thought from which we spring. This is the closest to a hell that exists, to our knowledge, in any of your universes. We, however, are not perfect, nor is our information complete. We simply have seen somewhat more than have you, but it is our understanding that the evolutionary process continues onward grade by grade or octave by octave, and at the end of each grade, those who are able to proceed to the next, those who are not able to repeat that octave or existence until they have learned the lesson of that existence. Thus, the terms heaven and hell are quite subjective. And what is heaven to you would not seem so to us, and what is heaven to us would be incomprehensible likewise to you, for each of us have our own, shall we say, psychological makeup, which has been developed through many eons of development in the spirit. The finally with which heaven and hell occur seemingly in your holy work known as the Bible is the result of a difficulty in speaking to people who cannot easily grasp the fact they must change their lives. Thus, although it is unfortunate, as we've said before, the one who saves, known to you as the Christ, is also represented as the one who will judge. This is intended to make his followers become worthy of the judgment. It has not succeeded. The truth that we are saying to you are inner truths which are not obvious, and we do not ask that you believe that which you cannot believe, but only that you listen and take what you need from what we have to say. In an unusual event, after a question, they begin speaking without question, saying, I will speak briefly and close through another instrument. We realize there are several of you in the room who are wondering about the one known as Jesus. This instrument, for instance, is a confirmed and believing Christian, and while we feel that sometimes her concepts are naive, we do not find her Christianity to be a difficulty to us in using her as a channel. Conversely, she does not find us a threat to her Christianity. However, this understanding is not given to all, and they may wonder if we of the Confederation can speak of all religions and all cultures as being one. Who then is the one known as Jesus? And we would answer that question as best we can by discussing with you the concept of karma, with which most of you are quite familiar. Karma being a type of cause and effect in which energies are put into action by former thoughts and deeds which culminate in a present necessity for some kind of atonement or balancing. Thus, if someone or a group of people have been very negative, when an entire culture has developed a very large amount of negative karma, there is an opportunity for a consciousness such as a one you know as Jesus. This consciousness is a special one. It is indeed so close to that of the original thought that it is almost difficult to understand an incarnation of such a being into your chemical illusion. However, such was the desire of this consciousness, and as the supreme transmuter, as the one known as Jesus was upon his cross, he transmuted the collective negative karma of the past so that it was no more. 2,000 years ago, as you say in your language, your peoples began with a slate that was wiped clean of karma. However, my friends, your peoples have been creating another situation that lies somewhat on the negative side. We hope, for your sake, as well as ours, that you can curb your instincts towards war, and by remembering the Creator and others in each moment of your life, alleviate that karma little by little, so that there never need be another crucifixion. This is our understanding of the one known to you as Jesus. We know him also, and feel that as a teacher, as the one who is one with the Father, and as one who saved his flock fearlessly, he has no equal. This is our understanding of the one you know as Jesus. But we must remind you that worship must not be of a man, but of a Creator. As Jesus has said to you in his holy work, it is not I, but my Father in me that doeth these things. So let it be with you, my friends, not you, but the Creator can live your life also. In each of your days, whatever the external circumstance, may be filled with a special kind of sunshine and love that comes from being at one with the harmony of the creation. Question to Quo, given on February of 2020. Can you talk about the nature of personal reality? Quo says, I'm Quo, and with this instrument at this time, it is a pleasure and an honor to be asked once again to join this group in its practice of learning the art of channeling. We call it an art because each person has a creative aspect to lend this practice. Just as your question for the evening concerns the nature of personal reality, each of you as a new instrument has wealth of experiences, feelings, hopes, and dreams that may in some part play a role in your ability to become more proficient channels of the love and light of the one infinite Creator. These experiences that you have had make you what you are as a foundation. The experiences that you're having are elaborations upon this foundation. The dreams that you hope for are a framework for a new construction of what you might call your basic personality structure within this illusion. Thus, you all, as seekers of truth, have within you the capacity to realize the greatest of the spiritual truths within your own heart, mind, and soul. The realization of these truths for each seeker takes upon a kind of personal configuration that is congruent with your unique identity. Though all may perceive the same basic qualities of the spiritual journey, there are various ways of processing them and expressing them so that you create your version of the truth. There's so much involved in perception, processing, and reforming previous thought to incorporate new thinking that this unique personality which you are is always undergoing change. It is truly said that change is the only constant. Thusly, as you move through your daily round of activities, attempting to share with others those truths which you hold dear to your heart, you open your heart in love and compassion and share that which is yours to share in whatever manner is possible in the moment of exchange. This will always have your own particular mark upon it. Your accent, shall we say, is if you're sharing were a language. You have a great deal to offer as conscious seekers of truth to other entities who would seek your service for any reason. You may see the interaction that you share with such entities as being a truly holy experience of creator to creator, or see it in any lesser degree of sanctity, even moving into the mundane world of mere clerks for pedestrians passing on their way from one point to another. Thusly, you have within your power to conceive of thought the ability to utilize any concept in a unique fashion that is unique to you. There is a development that can be seen in the mind-body-spirit complexes upon Earth at this time, in which perceptions, thought processes, experiences, and spiritual understandings combine in new ways to become an enhanced way that individuals at this time may be perceiving reality more capably than ever before. To ascertain points of fact, opinion, and collective thought, individuals may form what you may call more sophisticated versions of reality that may be more complex than what used to have been thought of by individuals. These more complex thought patterns could be said to be more evolutionary and hence more individualized, but still one part of the one infinite creator. It may seem at first glance that move highly individualized thought processes that perceive reality perhaps a little differently from one another, but these are different and make individuals separate from one another, but they are in an evolved state, more complex, not meant to separate but to blossom as flowers in their complexities blossom. It is within the capacity to love from the heart and to have compassion for one another that all of these variable perceptions that are seen to be reality by various individuals will be seen to be one through the lens of love, that individuals may synthesize, integrate, understand, and accept all the different realities that are perceived by one's brothers and sisters. For with the increase in love and compassion comes an increase in understanding and acceptance. And you can see how the richness of thought processes in their new complexities and divergent directions may be seen as beautiful, if not conforming as one, but rather many facets of one gem, many blossoms on a field of flowers. So let love be the lens through which individuals may look upon their own and others' thoughts, processes that may be expressing in different ways, and through the lens of love, there will be more acceptance of all as part of the one, and then further evolution towards unity. The terms reality and illusion may be seen to be interchangeable, particularly within the context of the question that you posed this evening. We speak to this carefully as we intend both to soften your conceptualization of what may be known as reality, but also to bring significance to what you may understand as the illusion. Your reality as an illusion, though it is malleable and it is illusory, may not quite be so easily dismissed, and indeed is the most important aspect which brings to the Creator the opportunity to experience itself through you, the subjective experience of the illusion and the reality. It has been noted in conversation this evening that seeming changing nature of how one's perception of one's reality affect that reality, and how in the perceptions of this group, the effect that one may have upon one's own reality is increasing. We observe your observations with great interest, as we have observed with great interest all shifting perceptions and relationships with reality upon your planet throughout the years of your evolution upon the third density of your reality. It is not the nature of reality itself that changes and offers this increased ability to influence your reality. It is merely the increased light of your own awareness being made available to you that shifts the way that you may form a relationship with what you perceive as reality. Within your society and throughout your own society's history, we have observed quite fascinating shifts, and this relationship that individuals and collectives may have with reality. And note that the trail that your society has taken has resulted in quite a unique opportunity for you at this time. We point at the influence of what might be called objectivity, or the belief that reality exists separate from one's own subjective perception, and that the nature of the universe may be best ascertained by removing the subject and attempting to isolate the universe completely separate from all experience of that universe. This being done, through attempting to distill collective subjective experience of reality into what could then be upheld as the ultimate truth. This philosophical approach to understanding the universe has had a deep impact upon your society, even within the realms of social circles that do not expressly believe in the validity of such an objective approach. Still, the influence of this objectivity has gripped your society very strongly. What you experience now cannot be separated from the stage of collective evolution, and it is important to recognize that as the ability of the individual to affect their reality is more recognized, this will become incredibly disorienting to a society with such a foundation upon the concept of objectivity. This recent evolution of your relationship with reality may seem to imply that each individual has an infinitely unique and complete separate perception of what may be called reality, which could be at odds with the concept of objectivity. But we introduce you to the idea that the pattern of thought and unconscious currents that influence you and help form your perception of your reality may not belong just to you. Buried within your unconscious mind is an innate and inseparable connection to those around you, to others within your culture, within your society, within other cultures upon your planet, and indeed with all entities upon your planet, and with the planet itself. Even further so, on this connection extends to the very creator itself. So when you are attempting to understand how you are influencing your own reality, we encourage you to consider that your reality is indeed shared among others. And the more you seek love within your reality, the more your reality merges with those others who are also seeking love. As you as individuals make this choice to seek love and to share love, you will be unified, not just in purpose, but in reality. And as that unification increases, you will recognize that the patterns of thought that you bring your consciousness to uncover will offer more opportunities for shaping a shared reality that shines with the brightest light of the Creator, that offers love to all beings, and your ability to form society as you understand it upon your planet into a loving society will become quite an attainable goal, as there are patterns of thought available to you that come from love itself, which has an intelligence and an ability to guide the instruments of the Creator in order to bring about harmony within your reality. Question. I have a couple of queries. Ross said there is a possibility that our planet could polarize positively in one fine, strong moment of inspiration. Could you give us any idea of what conditions could bring this about? Quo says, indeed, the possibility of your entire planet polarizing in one fine moment seems like such a remote and infinitely small possibility that is difficult to imagine what conditions might bring about such a dramatic shift, especially as your perceptions of your own planet tend towards the negative and difficulties upon it. Yet we point out that in times of difficulty, there often comes a shared purpose among those who experience such difficulty. When circumstances are the most dire, entities have within their grasp the most ability to turn their hearts towards service and unify for the purposes of serving their fellow entities about them. We do not mean to be grim in offering an example of catastrophe in order to present this possibility, yet indeed such an event in which all upon your planet are aware of some difficulty or impending dire circumstance that may affect everybody, much of the pattern of thought that separates you as individuals and as disparate cultures might fall away for concern of all others, and those upon your planet may turn their hearts towards each other, extending in all directions and to all peoples. Question. At this time, is there any way of estimating when the harvest into fourth density of Earth will be complete? I am Quo, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. We are aware of your own awareness that such an estimation is quite a difficult concept to grasp, particularly from within your own veiled existence. It is nearly equally difficult for us to ascertain from our own perspective, as the tangle of distortions upon your planet are quite difficult for us. You may say untangling in our perceptions, it is quite impossible for us to know when certain momentum of thought patterns may run out or when certain circumstances may unfold that bring about great shifts in the global consciousness, as these things are closely linked to each individual's own personal evolution upon your planet, and each individual upon your planet has a great capacity for exercising their free will, and we have found that the entities upon your planet exercise that free will in quite surprising ways, even to us. In short, we may not offer any accurate estimation for when the harvest may occur, and yet we can assure you that it is occurring, and within your planet's future there is a new Earth ready to be born. We are most pleased with the effort that each instrument has made this evening in grasping the words and concepts which we have attempted to channel through each. These words and concepts are our meager attempts to speak to the heart of your queries, which have a great deal of concern and consideration blended within them, reflecting their importance to you. We hope that you will remember that the words, even when correctly perceived, are mere substitutes for the actual reality which we attempt to convey. However, we applaud each effort that has been made this evening to correctly perceive those words, and we thank you for your conscientiousness. We would now take leave of this instrument and this group. We leave each of you, as always, in the love and the light of the one infinite creator. We are known to you as those of Quo. Adonai Vasu Borogas. Thus concluding this particular session of channeling, and I had so many more to read, but I think that's a good stopping point. We'll definitely return to Quo. There's some amazing things that come out of this. The beginning, we get this idea that there is one original thought. The one creator is trying to learn about itself. And this one thought is about love, a love both terrible and wonderful at the same time. I found that to be a profound statement. And there's some interesting further elaborations. We have an idea of the lack of clarity on when fourth density will be complete. I feel it is unknown. There's a lot of unknowns to this process. We just know that the process is beginning and a new earth is ready to be born. We are the ones that are bringing it into existence. I really get that point a lot with the Quo material, this urgency, this idea that we can create the new earth, that we have an effect on new earth. At the end of this channeling, we get the interesting idea that we are becoming aware that our reality is changing faster. Something I say quite a bit, that is one of the conclusions of my book, The Reality Revolution. And that is because more light is coming into us, through us. We're expressing more light and love. And as we do that, we have a greater control over our own realities. The other channelings are just beautiful explanations of the process of awakening and becoming aware of the polarities, the differences in polarities, and the negatives and positives, and how they work. There's just so much little bits of information that I pulled for this. I'm sure that you're the same. The idea that there are hell planets reminds me of Ian Banks, and I believe the book is Surface Detail, where he talks about these hell planets that cultures create. Because in their religion, they believe in a hell, so they send people to these planets. But, of course, you will go to the vibration that is closest to you in your next life. That's established here. So if you're in a positive, highly vibrating state, you're going to go to that frequency that is most similar to you. It's what Annalise Gerin says. It's what Swedenborg says. It's what so many other thought teachers that talk about the afterlife have seemed to indicate, that you're going to be around others that are just like you, other vibrations and things that are just like yours. Everything just keeps going. So you can make major changes to what you experience in your afterlife by what you do now. In this incarnation, you can change everything. In any case, I would love to get your impressions of this particular channeling. There's so much wonderful stuff. What was your favorite bit of information? And have you had any wonderful revelations by listening to the Quo material? Please put it in the comments. I'm sending love and light to all of you that are listening. And I think of you often, and I think with such gratitude to have the opportunity to read things like this and share this with you, because I'm sharing and learning just as much as you are, and it really touches me. And it's powerful that there is information like this that we can access, that just by the very wording of it raises us to a higher density. I can feel it when I access this material, and I'd love to get your impressions. You can find all episodes of The Reality Revolution at therealityrevolution.com, and welcome to The Reality Revolution.